The case of the Securities and Exchange Commission versus Fabrice Tour might be viewed as the SEC taking on a mid-level employee at a Wall Street bank, an employee who sent vaguely misleading emails to investors. But many have been tempted to look at this as all of Wall Street on trial for the crime of the financial crisis. Tour worked for Goldman Sachs. He faced a jury that included a principal, a priest, and an animator. So you might say this was a collision of Wall Street and Main Street. Lisa Chow from NPR's Planet Money team talked to two jurors about what this was like.
For almost 3 weeks, Dylan Maxwell didn't read any press reports of the trial that he was a juror on. When the trial ended last week, he finally got his chance.
I've read in newspapers that we were falling asleep and that we didn't understand and that we were overwhelmed by details, and we weren't.
Maxwell's 37 and works in the film industry. He says, yes, jurors nodded off from time to time. He was one of them. But that had everything to do with the tediousness of everyday legal protocol.
And the same emails in front of a new witness who repeatedly said, I do not recall, I do not recall, I do not recall, for hours. Even the lawyers were falling asleep on the bench.
The man on trial, Fabrice Tour, worked at Goldman Sachs dealing in financial securities that were tied to the value of home mortgages. Another juror, Beth Glover, says there was a moment during the trial when the lawyers were discussing the mortgages at the center of Tour's questionable deal. And she realized, for all intents and purposes, they were talking about her mortgage.
Definitely when I was sitting there listening about, like, what were the elements that they looked at when they were looking at the subprime mortgage groupings, I think I would have been in one of those. I didn't have as great a FICO score at that time.
Glover's 47 and an Episcopal priest. She says she saw how the financial crisis affected her parishioners. They lost homes, jobs, church programs had to be cut for lack of funds. The other juror I spoke to, Dylan Maxwell, might still be underwater on his mortgage. He hasn't checked recently. But he says when it came time to deliberate, it was not Wall Street on trial. It was just Fabrice Tour.
When it came down to the facts of the case, there wasn't too much to learn. You know, I think that there was a deal and it had all these complexities. And within that deal, there was somebody who wasn't telling the truth. And the question was, is not telling the truth a crime or is it not?
The case, as laid out by the SEC, was that Fabrice Tour, back in 2007, had been trying to help someone, John Paulson, a well-known hedge fund manager, make a billion-dollar bet that a bunch of mortgages in Arizona, Nevada, Florida, and California would fail. To help Paulson do that, Tour had to bring in someone to take the other side of the bet. The only problem was the other party, a company called ACA, said it didn't even know that Paulson was betting against it. It thought Paulson was on its side. The government presented emails that it said proved Tour had misled ACA. Ultimately, the jury agreed and found Tour liable on 6 of the 7 charges against him. But it took a while, almost 2 full days of deliberation.
We didn't feel any malice towards him. We felt sympathy at times, you know. We saw that he was greedy. We saw that he was maybe arrogant. I don't know if I can speak for everybody, or of course I can't speak for everybody, but then coming down to it, we saw Goldman as the bigger problem, and the whole system is a bigger problem.
Glover agrees. She said she'd like to see some of the people above him put on trial. Tour felt like a scapegoat.
You know, the problem with just going after Fabrice Tour or going after the different sort of Fabrice Tours that are in all of these banks is that it doesn't change the system, at least not enough.
As a result of the jury verdict, Tour will probably have to pay a fine. How much is still unclear. He could also be banned from working on Wall Street. His former employer, Goldman Sachs, paid $550 million in 2010 to settle charges relating to the same case. And while the bank acknowledged that its marketing material to investors contained incomplete information, it did not admit to any wrongdoing. Lisa Chow, NPR News.